December 12th, 2023, and the time is 9:06 a.m. We are meeting in the Denali room of the Anchorage Legislative Information Office building. Please silence your cell phones. My name is Representative Carpenter. I am serving as the chair. Today we have with us today Senator Hoffman, Senator Bishop, Representative Josephson in person. We have on Teams, it looks like Representative Vance, and on the phone we have Senator Kawasaki, Representative Tomaszewski, and Senator Wilikowski. Are there any names that I did not call who are online?
Representative Carpenter, this is Representative Carrick. I'm also on Teams.
Thank you very much, Representative Carrick, for joining us. Okay, hearing no others, it sounds like that is all that we have. We have a quorum to do business. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of our minutes. And Representative Vance is over there on Teams. Representative Vance, can I have a motion?
I move the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes for August 30th, 2023 meetings as presented.
Is there an objection to approving the minutes? Seeing and hearing none, the minutes for the August 30, 2023 meeting are approved as presented. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the presentation of the prior fiscal year's top audit issues from members of the Legislative Budget and Audit Team. We have with us today Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor, and Mike Chadwick, the Audit Manager. Please come forward and put yourself on the record, and you may begin your presentation. It looks like we are not online on their microphones. Give us just a second. There we go.
For the record, this is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor.
For the record, I'm Mike Chadwick, audit manager with the Division of Legislative Audit. Members should have received a grid that summarizes the status of correction actions for the top fiscal year 23 audit findings that were presented to you at this committee's meeting about a month ago. The final stage of the committee's follow-up process is to determine which of these findings warrant additional consideration and follow-up by legislative committees during the next session. The last column on the grid is the recommended action. And item number one, we recommend forwarding this to the Finance, Transportation, Budget Committees, as well as the House and Senate Finance Committees, for follow-up hearings on the status of the Alaska International Airport System's financial statements and audit. We also recommend forwarding items number 3 and 4 to the Senate and House Health and Social Services Committees for their consideration. Item number 3 shows federal program findings with the Division of Public Assistance.
Mr. Chadwick, can I interrupt you for just a second? I'm sorry. We are receiving some feedback from online, somebody who's on the phone. If you can please mute your phones, that way we eliminate the feedback in the room. I would appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Chadwick, please continue.
Thank you. Going back to item number 3, this shows federal program findings with the Division of Public Assistance. The audit found that the division was struggling with staffing shortages, lack of staff experience, poor training, and a lack of adequate internal controls. Item number 4 refers to the Medicaid behavioral health system, where the audit identified significant errors with the new behavioral health IT system and with provider screening. Now, no formal action needs to be taken since the committee adopted the follow-up process as part of the committee's formal rules as codified in the handbook. The next step is for the legislative auditor to work with the LBNA chair to formally refer the audit findings to the recommended committees. I'd like to know whether any of the members have questions or concerns.
So first we'll go to the members in the room here. Are there any questions about this list of audit issues? I'll pause for a second here. Are there any questions online on the phone system for representatives or senators? and on Teams. Okay, doesn't sound like we have any questions today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, following this meeting, I'll work with the legislative auditor to get these findings to the appropriate committees in a formal manner. Our next order of business is to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing the final and preliminary audit releases that are before us today. Representative Vance, can I have another motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B3 for the discussion of matters that may, by law, be required to be confidential. I ask that the following persons remain in the room or online: the legislative auditor and necessary staff of the auditor, any legislators not on the committee, staff or legislators who are a member of the committee.
Is there an objection to going into executive session today from any members in the room? Are there any objections online or on Teams? Seeing none, will my staff, Lauren, please call the roll.
Members present, Representative Johnson.
Present.
I think that was a yes. Representative Vance?
Yes, here, present.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, present.
Thank you. Representative Tomaszewski?
I am here.
Representative Josephson?
Here.
Senator Wilkowski?
Here.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Kawasaki?
Here.
Senator Bishop?
Here.
Any other members of the committee that I did not call? Thank you.
Let's take a brief ease while we clear the room. Thank you. Okay, we are back on the record coming out of executive session for the legislative budget and audit meeting. And will we please take the roll as we come out and make sure the members that we still have, please.
Okay, just going to confirm members. Representative Johnson?
Here.
Representative Vance?
Here.
Representative Josephson?
Here.
Representative Tomaszewski?
Here.
Senator Wilkowski?
Here. Here.
Senator Kawasaki?
Here.
Any members that I did not call are online? Thank you.
Okay, during the executive session, we discussed the final audit release of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, Sunset. At this time, is there an objection to the from committee members on releasing the Sunset audit? Hearing none, the audit will be released. We also received and discussed the preliminary audit release for the following Sunset audits: the Alaska Commission on Aging, Marijuana Control Board, and the Board of Massage Therapists. We also discussed the Department of Labor and Workforce Development Technical Vocational Education Program audit. And I will pause briefly. Please re-mute your cell phones. We're getting some feedback that is making it difficult. And the final audit discussed during the executive session was the Department of Family and Community Services Office of Children's Services Compliance with Foster Care Reform Laws, Part 2. And those audits will go to the executive branch for review. Is there any objection from members of the committee to releasing those audits to the executive branch for review? Representative Vance, can I have a motion for the record for these two releases? One for the Big Game Commercial Services Board first.
I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee release the audit on Big Game Commercial Services Board Sunset as a final public audit report. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit.
We'll take one at a time. Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing and hearing none, that motion passes. Representative Vance, your second motion.
I move that the Legislative Budget Audit Committee release the preliminary audit on the Alaska Commission on Aging, Sunset, the Marijuana Control Board, Sunset, the Board of Massage Therapists, Sunset, the Department of Labor and Workforce Development Technical Vocational Education Program, and the Department of Family and Community Services Offices of Children's Services Compliance with Foster Care Reform Law, Part 2.
Are there any objections to any of the release of any of those audits? Hearing and seeing none, the motion passes. This brings us to our final order of business today, which is an update from the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. And I need to double check to see if we've got Director Mitchell online. We do. So we've asked Director Mitchell to come in and give us an update on the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation's plans for establishing an office in Anchorage. And Director Mitchell, can you hear me? I can see your mouth moving, but I cannot hear you. So,
one moment.
I cannot hear you still. Okay, we'll pause for just a second here to work out some technical difficulties. And we will take a brief at ease to work them out. The director of the Permit Fund Corporation online on the phone with us. Sir, can you hear me today?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Sorry for the technical glitch.
It is a fact of life. Thank you for joining us today. I had asked you to come forward and give us an update on the Permit Fund Corporation's search for and plans for opening an office here in Anchorage and elsewhere around wherever your plans are currently. And so if you would just update us on what you guys are working on.
Definitely. So we've, in our board strategic plan, had a goal of opening an office in Anchorage for a number of years now. This goal was discussed several times over the course of the end of the last fiscal year, as well as the start of this fiscal year, and culminated in our board providing direction to move forward with an opportunity that arose to occupy a portion of a building located at 555 Cordova Street in Anchorage that DEC otherwise occupied. Many DEC employees are working remotely, and so there is space available in the building that we were able to lease from the Department of Transportation with DEC's allowance. And so in September, the Board of Trustees of the Permanent Fund Corporation voted to move forward, and we entered into negotiations with the Department of Transportation and entered ultimately into a lease agreement with DOT, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And for the current fiscal year, the payments are approximately $22,000 for the space. The space is on the ground floor of the building. It's comprised of 9 work areas, 3 walled offices, and 6 cubicles, as well as a conference room and access to common facilities like a break room and the bathrooms. We have some additional expenses associated with getting set up in the space. We had to buy a little bit of technology equipment, so that's going to total something in the neighborhood of $7,000 or $8,000 for that equipment. We probably have to buy a few other things still because we're in the process of staff members that were interested in living and working in Anchorage, starting to occupy the space. And so some chairs and things that will arise that we anticipate another couple of $1,000s of cost in the near term for that facility. The roster of employees that currently anticipates working out of that office includes one employee that was already working remotely in Anchorage out of Eagle River, an IT staff, information technology staff. Then we'll have one individual that works in our private income group that was from Anchorage is moving back to Anchorage. One person in our private equity group that was from South Central is moving back to Anchorage. And 2 new employees in the private equity group are also going to be working out of the Anchorage office. In addition, what we have, one person from our middle office team, our trade reconciliation team, that's planning to work approximately half-time out of the Anchorage office. So a staff of 6, and then our chief investment officer has also indicated that he plans to spend a week, a month, or something along that line in Anchorage in support of the Anchorage office. In the FY 2025 budget proposal that we submitted to the governor's office, we requested $100,000 for the Anchorage office for the upcoming fiscal year. That money would include the lease cost that's estimated for the entire year at $35,000 or up to $35,000. Some additional office technology to build out the office of $25,000, an allowance for employees that might be coming to work for the corporation from outside the state, that want to live in Anchorage for them to live in Juneau for 3 months prior to their locating to Anchorage so that they could spend some time at the headquarters to become indoctrinated or aware of the team that they're going to be working with, as well as the culture of our organization, and then $20,000 for additional office furniture need that might arise. There were some questions about a data center that we also have an offsite data center, so that in the event of a failure here in Juneau with our primary data center, that we'd be able to have staff working remotely out of a backup facility that was located in Fairbanks. It still is, actually, but is in the process of being moved to Anchorage because of issues with the facility that have arisen with the Fairbanks facility. That's uncorrelated to this. It's not the same facility. There's no benefit one way or the other from that shift with the data center relocation. It's just something that's happening coincidentally at the same time. The move was made to open the Anchorage office primarily for recruitment and retention issues, so offering existing employees the flexibility of working in Anchorage rather than just working in Juneau, and then new employees, to the extent they're required to work in an office, that same flexibility. That was basically the prepared comments I had. I don't know if there was questions that you wanted to delve into, or if I missed aspects that were important. I'd be happy to cover those now.
Thank you, Director Mitchell. I appreciate it. I just wanted to questions and just seeking a clarification here with the individuals that are going to be working in the Anchorage office that have direct responsibility for investment decisions. That work, as I was jotting some notes here, I think that is probably three, maybe four individuals. Is that correct?
Yes, it will be four members of the what we would call the investment staff that will be located in Anchorage at this time. They're relatively junior members of those staffs, but still hold positions where they're going to influence decision-making about investment opportunities for the fund.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions from members? Representative Josephson?
Yes, through the chair. Director, when I've toured the Juneau office, the investment folks, which I think are downstairs, they had something that looked to me like the equivalent of NASA's, you know, monitors and screens, and it was very impressive technologically to me. Will they have all of that sort of capacity in Anchorage?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that's probably folks that were using Bloomberg machines and other technology, and that tends to be in asset classes that aren't currently part of the team that's moving to Anchorage. And so with this initial rollout, it's a bit minimalistic, and so I don't know that we would be able to support that direct trade activity as well as the folks that are moving are all in private market asset classes where they're not looking at public market screens like you would find in public equity or fixed income. They're looking at they're analyzing and coordinating with managers or consultants on reviewing information that's a little more, a little less technologically imposing when you walk by them. They're going to be reading a PowerPoint or a PDF file rather than looking at a continually evolved Bloomberg screen.
Follow?
Representative Jolson.
If things go as the permanent fund plans, what will be the percentage of staff, total staff of any sort, that will be in Anchorage vis-a-vis Juneau? Is it 5% of the total, or is it 15% or more?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, there hasn't been a target like that identified. The board has been very supportive of the opening of the office and the allowances that we can provide to encourage staff to work out of that office if they're so inclined. But there hasn't, there's, in fact, just today, one of our trustees, Trustee Bruni, declared, because we're having a board meeting today, declared on the record that, because this topic came up as part of the discussions of my report and the Chief Investment Officer's report, that Anchorage is not intended to be a replacement of Juneau's headquarters. It's intended to be an ancillary office that's available for maximum recruitment and retention of employees. And as we move forward, we'll just have to determine how that plays out with the staff that or the potential employees that come to work here.
I'm not sure why I can't, with great respect, just get a sort of a simple number. you must have a plan. Is it 10 employees? Is it 50? But that's okay. We can talk about it in Juneau as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Are there any questions from members online?
Yeah. Hey, this is Scott Kawasaki. Can you hear me?
Yes, Senator Kawasaki, go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Director Mitchell, for being online. Just a kind of question because, you know, consolidating space was something the Division of Administration or Department of Administration had done several years ago. I'm sure you were part of that. And the idea with space consolidation and making, I mean, they had tried to figure out like square footages of each public employee that worked in a typical cubicle kind of place. I mean, it was very, very specific. And the idea was to have less of a footprint when it came to employees working for the state. This seems like a departure from that, that we're adding a new office and a new space. And I just did the rough calculations. You know, it's going to cost an extra, you know, $100,000 for startup or $120,000 plus another maybe 40 to 50 per year just to keep a staff open in a different location. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, it's in the ballpark of what we might anticipate the cost being in the short term. The ultimate cost we're going to have to determine as we go along, and this somewhat ties into my response to the prior question, in as much as that there aren't specific targets associated with this office, there weren't specific goals identified. It was it's a little more or less clear than that. It's more just intended to be something that's intended to provide the highest potential of a potential employee wanting to work for our organization. And as far as space standards go, you're right. The state did adopt space standards a few years back, and that resulted in lots of reorganization in existing facilities. Our offices, I have no idea how they might conform or not to space standards. And there is some inefficiency that's created when you have a need. As employees come back to Juneau to have a space that's available for them to work for a period of time while they might be here, as well as their workspace in Anchorage, we're just going to have to manage as we move through this learning experience.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, was there any thoughts to moving to Fairbanks, for instance? Or were we chasing a particular employee that lives in Anchorage or I think you mentioned Eagle River?
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, our employee that was working in Eagle River was working remotely. So she was on a permanent remote work program, which the Permanent Fund Corporation allows, has allowed since COVID. But at this point, we have some employees that work outside the state of Alaska, as well as our one employee that worked in the state of Alaska on a fully remote basis. And so it didn't have anything to do with that particular employee. I don't know the origin of it being in the strategic plan. I wasn't here at the organization when that strategic plan was crafted. I do know that it was a priority of our board to open the Anchorage office, and no other potential locations were discussed as part of that dialogue.
Okay. And I'll just say, because we just into your delegation just toured several of the local state office buildings, and just there's a lot of vacant space in some buildings, and some because folks are remote working 4 out of 5 days a week. And because they can do that they're not interface jobs where they need to be interfacing public. But I just wanted to let you know we've got some free space up in Fairbanks, Alaska, if you can handle the weather. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. And if it's state buildings, I don't think that it's going to be free space. I think someone will have a charge back somehow for paying for that space. Appreciate your input. Any other questions online? Okay, I have a question for Mr. Mitchell. The office space that's here in Anchorage, it sounds like maybe there's going to be some temporary office space for visiting employees that may need to transit back and forth between Juneau and Anchorage periodically. Is that also part of the plan?
Mr. Chair, yes, it is part of the plan. Specifically, the Chief Investment Officer has indicated that he plans to travel back and forth regularly, so he'll have one of the 9 offices dedicated to him while he's there. Similarly, if myself or other staff are in Anchorage for other business, we'll be making an effort to stop by and spend time in the Anchorage office to ensure that we're keeping in touch with those employees as closely as possible, and utilizing the space. So right now we anticipate the cubicles that are part of the 9 spaces that we have being assigned to those 6 employees that will work primarily out of the Anchorage office, and the 3 offices being available for rotating or visiting staff to occupy, or for additional private conversation space, because the space we have isn't an office of just the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. It's just a office complex that you walk into, and there's DEC employees on one side of the cubicle wall, and there'll be APFC employees on the other side of the cubicle wall. So it really is a minimalistic approach to providing for this initial experiment to see if it's something that moves forward into the future if it's successful.
It sounds like I haven't seen the footprint of the building or the layout. Is there meeting room space for the board to meet if they need to, or offices for board members?
Mr. Chair, there's not offices for board members per se, but certainly if a board member stopped by and wanted to work and spend some time in one of the walled offices, they certainly would be welcome to. We do have just a little conference room. I think it could maybe hold 8 or 10 people that we have available to us. Otherwise, DEC might have some other meeting spaces. I looked around and I didn't see one that was of a sufficient size in that particular building to allow for our board to meet. But there's certainly other locations in Anchorage. We have meetings in Anchorage regularly, and we'll likely continue to use those venues, whether it's the Atwood Building or Denina or other space as we move forward. And ultimately, if this office is successful and there are employees that are working out of there that start to exceed the space available, it's likely that we will be looking at moving to a more permanent space that might be more similar to the space that we have in Juneau.
You'd said earlier that you had two new investment staff, the private equity investment staff that were going to be working there, and maybe one private equity staff that was moving from Juneau to that mm-hmm. office, and the chief investment officer would be there temporarily, periodically. I guess the question that I'm leading to is, how would you measure whether the office move is successful? Is it in being able to achieve a certain number of new recruits, or maintaining a certain number of people that, you know, in the retention piece of this, how would you measure that the move of the office would be successful if we came back a year from now and had this conversation?
Oh, that's a good question, Mr. Chair. I would think if our available space is fully occupied and the work product that we're obtaining from our employees, both here in Juneau or in Anchorage or otherwise remotely, continues to be of a high standard and employee satisfaction is higher with our employees that relocated or were allowed the opportunity to locate in another community in Alaska besides Juneau, it's not going to be, unfortunately, something that I'm going to be able to quantify that easily. It'll probably be a little more subjective that we'll have to suss out how it's positively benefiting the organization. And it is going to take some time, because right now it's your summary of the private equity team is correct, and then private infrastructure was another younger employee that's from Anchorage that was moving back. And so the two new employees that are elected to Anchorage, that was really almost like a bonus for them, because they were originally contacted, or they originally applied, they thought the only option was going to be Juneau. And so they're selecting Anchorage maybe as a stamp of approval on us having made the move, because if it was an alternative that was more palatable to those employees that were moving from outside of the state of Alaska to Alaska, then and if it enhances the likelihood that they'll stay longer term, which, again, that can be difficult to know until we have an experience, that'll be, I think, the proof in the pudding that it was the right move for our organization.
I appreciate that response. And if it's not quantifiable, at least we have this on the record to refer to as kind of the thinking. And I understand that the board gave the direction to seek an office in Anchorage. I guess my hope would be is that if we made an intentional decision to increase cost to the organization, that there would be a deliberate reason for doing so, and that if we're going to be able to understand whether that's going to be successful or not, we've already thought through what success looks like. And so I think it's a legitimate mm-hmm. question that if you or the board doesn't really fully understand what success looks like, then how do we know what we're doing is really necessary? That's the question in my mind. So I guess we can continue the conversation when we get down there in Juneau. With regard to your existing office, if there are employees that are going to be moving from Juneau to Anchorage, how do you assess that that's going to impact the utilization of the building down there?
So on the Permanent Fund Corporation occupies the majority of one floor of our building that we own on 10th Street over near the federal building in Juneau. And there's also a Merrill Lynch brokerage that occupies one corner. So there isn't, I don't know that we're going to be able to reallocate space very easily. And the other thing that occurs in this construct is that we have in our remote work and working in Anchorage policies a requirement for employees to come back to Juneau from time to time. And those, we try to coordinate those so that people come back near the same date so that they can interact and refresh themselves with one another. And that lends itself to having we're going to wind up with a group of what I'll call roaming offices where people that are coming back to Juneau, whether it's from outside the state or from the Anchorage office or from other locations in Alaska where they might be working remotely, that they have a space here to be able to conduct business alongside the other folks that might be in town at the same point. And so I don't know that we're going to get any efficiencies out of I guess it would depend on how it evolves into the future if we wind up seeing half the employees, for example, located in Anchorage. I would fully expect that we'd start downsizing the Juneau office space. It doesn't have that flavor to it right now.
Okay. How would you describe the utilization of the building now? I mean, I've driven by it and I think I've been in there once. You said the Department of Corporation is occupying space on the first floor. What is, and that the building is owned by the corporation, what is the utilization of the building? How much space do we have available for that's not being used?
Our building is currently underutilized. So we actually occupy the third floor. The Permanent Fund Corporation and, like I said, this Merrill Lynch brokerage occupies the third floor, and it's entirely utilized. The second floor is 100% vacant. The Department of Education used to be in that space, and I believe they relocated. It was prior to my working here, but I believe they were relocated to the state office building, and perhaps in part that was due to space standards or remote work policies, some combination thereof, that I think Department of Education is fairly liberal, similar to DEC, in their allowance for employees to work from home for the majority of the time. And on the first floor, there's another Department of Administration office, personal services, that may be moving out of the building in the coming year. And then a market research firm that McKinley has is also located on the first floor. And so there's fairly significant vacancies in our building right now. It's valued at $7 million. And so it's a minor portion of our total portfolio, which is close to $9 billion, so 9,000 million compared to 7 million. But it definitely is, even though it might be a relatively small component of our portfolio, is something that has been rising in discussions more frequently in current days. And so I know I was just talking to the chief investment officer about it this morning, and if there are alternatives for managing this building that might make more sense, or if there's alternatives for use of this building that might make more sense, so that we don't have an asset that has is non-conforming because it's more than 30% vacant.
Yeah, thank you for that answer. I'm certainly not speaking on behalf of the legislature right now, but if the permanent fund corporations own the building, the footprint that they actually own is underutilized and it is part of your investment, I'm not sure that sends a really good message. I would hope that some attention, even though if it is a smaller portion of the portfolio, some attention would be spent to better utilize the building. But I'm going to pause for a second there and actually just be quiet for a second and see if there are any questions from other members online. Okay.
I'm not hearing any. The last question that I guess I would like to know, there was some discussion in previous conversations earlier this year about potential offices being established around the United States that would help or would benefit the investment decisions of the corporation. Has there been any further planning or discussion on the need for that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there's continued to be discussion about that potential from our board, and the board's considering tomorrow a strategic plan that, as part of the strategic plan, has the task or goal of consideration of offices outside of Alaska, both in the continental U.S. as well as potentially internationally. And so that has a relatively long time frame, 2 to 4 years. So we are going to be tasked as a staff with considering the benefits of additional hard space in locations outside of Alaska. I don't know how that's going to wind up. There's arguments for and against. There are a number of other investment funds similar to ours that have offices in, whether in financial centers or overseas in financial centers around the country and world, but it's there are differences, and there's differences in how we do business that and there's differences in flexibility since COVID, candidly, that like I said earlier, we have staff that work remotely. We have a couple of staff in California, a person in Texas, we have a person in Alabama, used to have a person in New York, and if our purpose of establishing offices is recruitment and retention, I've talked to those staff, and if you suggest to them, hey, wouldn't you like to move to, you know, whatever community that you don't currently live in, if we open an office, and pretty quickly their answer is no. I live in the community I live in because that was part of what drew me to this opportunity to work for the permanent fund, is that flexibility to work in the community that I wanted to live in. And if I have to move to New York City or San Francisco or whatever the community might be otherwise, that's not a positive for me. So we have to weigh what other positives there might be with opening a hard space in another location. And I think it's going to be an interesting discussion as we move forward. And certainly we don't have any plans in the short term. And I, because of the higher profile and scope of a potential of an office outside of the state, I would say with a pretty high level of confidence that I would expect that we would be before the legislature to ask for the allowance to spend money on an undertaking like that prior to any action on our part.
Thank you for the answer. And I guess I would just reiterate that if we opened a small office in Anchorage and we're not exactly sure how to describe what success is going to look like with that office, I would hope we give some thought to the opening of other offices around the world and how we would know that we're being successful with the money we're spending on those offices. So maybe at the time of the future conversations, we can think through that. Anything else that you would like to provide the committee before we end this conversation?
No, I just thanks for the opportunity to have a dialogue. I think it's important for us to give you as much information as possible. And if there's something that, like, I know that there were a couple of answers that maybe are a little more vague than the committee would like, and we can continue to try to hone in on those as we move forward. And sometimes that's just all we have, and we're doing the best we can, but we'll make every effort to try to let you know when that's the case and when we can give you details to do that. So thanks.
Thank you, sir, for your time. And seeing and hearing no other further questions here, this concludes the
business for today. We will be adjourned as of 11:29 a.m. Thank you all.
Thank you.